Please, come in.
Hello.
Hello. He's a stranger. We're just gonna let him sleep in our house. Hello.
Hello.
Did you know he had a wife? He has pictures of you in his luggage.
What were you doing in their luggage?
They want
God help you.
I am Oscar, and I have two guest hosts today. One you kind of know, mayhaps. I think you've heard her every once in a while. Introduce yourself. What's your name?
I'm Lexi.
Lexi. That's right. And I have my cousin. Family blood. He's blood. He's blood. Blood of my blood. What's your name?
Josue.
Josue.
How do you spell that?
Josue.
Yeah. So it's like Jose, but with
like
a U.
Like with a U and an accent on the E, too.
The English.
Josue.
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 Josue. Josue.
Josue.
Nope, nope, nope. You don't have to accentuate any part. Just Josue.
Josue.
Yeah, yeah. He's just mocking your name now.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's the English version is Joshua. So
Joshua.
Just like the Spanish version.
Joshua.
Don't hurt yourself. Anyway, okay. This is bonus, as I was saying, as you probably got from the intro, which I always put the trailer at the top of the show for bonuses. We're going to be reviewing only one film today, and it's Mother. Darren Aronofsky's Mother. These two are the only people I can find that have the time also, because granted, we need to have the time. To record a show about it, and also the people that have controversial opinions on it, because most of the world out there, especially public audiences, have not favored Darren Aronofsky's latest film. And most, like half the critics are like, fuck this movie. Half of them are like, oh, we love this movie. So it's really controversial in many ways, and we're going to talk about that right now. So let's get into it. Our review of Mother. A couple's relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence. And like we said, written and directed by Darren Aronofsky, the guy who brought us Requiem for a Dream. He did Pi. What's that? Black Swan, probably his biggest movie. The Wrestler. You saw Black Swan, right?
Yeah. It was traumatizing.
Who showed that to you?
It was traumatizing.
Who showed you that movie?
You did.
Yeah, I did. Remember that?
Yeah.
He also did The Fountain. Brain. I know it is. Yeah, so the Fountain and what's that really? That movie with Noah. You seen Noah?
I have not seen Noah.
Have you seen
Noah? He hasn't.
I've seen Requiem for a Dream. I've seen Black Swan, and I've seen The Wrestler.
Nice.
Those three.
So what do you think of this guy, this director?
Yeah, I mean, I get what he's going for. Definitely, like in his movies, I see it. I felt this one was different. I felt like the other ones kind of had like a story behind it, kind of a very like more grounded story. This one's kind of just
that's true. This is the least little, grounded movie he's ever done.
A little out there.
Well, that's one way of putting it for sure. Do you prefer the grounded story stuff or him going crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's me that just kind of like. I think that when a movie comes, like when a movie like this, where I don't understand what's going on, like my dumb brain kind of thinks like, oh, well, it's a good movie because I don't really get it. So that must mean that it's good.
Oh, like you have to be smarter than
right.
You are.
So I'm like, obviously, like I'm not smart enough to get it. But if I was, I would really enjoy this movie. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed The Wrestler. I enjoyed Black Swan. I enjoyed Requiem for a Dream. I enjoyed those three movies that I mentioned. But I did enjoy this one. I mean, basically, yeah.
Good. Yeah. That's kind of why I put here too. Not many people like this movie. Lexi, and you know, just generally, broadly speaking, what did you think of Mother? I know you haven't seen his other movies. Have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
No.
And I know Black Swan, you just said, traumatized you. Yeah. So is that a positive or a negative?
Well, usually trauma is not positive.
No, but like the movie affected you, so the movie did its job?
Yeah, right? It did. I'm right. Traumatized.
Okay, cool. So what did you think of Mother? Same?
No. Mother was good. I liked it.
Okay. In what way?
In all the twisted ways the husband psychologically tortured Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. I didn't even say who starts this movie, but it does star Jennifer Lawrence. None of these people have names, by the way. Her name in this movie is called Mother. Javier Bardem is him. That's his name. Him plays a husband. Ed Harris plays man. Michelle Pfeiffer plays woman. Brian Gleeson, younger brother. Donald Gleeson, oldest son. Like, these are the names of these people. And there's a ton of other people after that, but a lot of them are really bit parts. It's really just Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence. And I don't know what, I mean, what genre does this fit in best with you, Josue? Like, what genre would you, if you had to ask, to convince someone to watch it and they ask, what genre is it, what would you say?
I mean, if I was conveying it, someone would say it's a psychological thriller, honestly. Sweet. That's how I felt it.
Me too. Watching it. No, me too. I think that's a very apt. All right, where to begin with this movie? There is very little to no plot. The only thing we know about plot in this movie is that time does go forward. So there's no, like, flashbacks, as far as I can tell, anyway. I mean, maybe there's an argument to be made otherwise, as far as I can tell. And there's a deterioration of things. As usual, if you've seen Darren Aronofsky movies, you know this for sure now, Josue, that he likes to start at a weird premise, or start somewhere, and it gradually gets worse and crazier as the movie goes on. This is no exception, in any opinion. It goes crazy. What is this movie about to you?
I mean, it's so hard to say just because there's so many moving pieces throughout the whole movie. I mean, to me, it's just pretty much about the relationship between a man and a woman. And I mean, just everything she goes through and then kind of his reaction to it all. And then hers, I mean, I think you're just really focused in on how she reacts to everything going on around her. And it's so frustrating to a point where, like, you almost feel, like, her frustrations. I mean, you say there's, like, a lot of chaos and everything. It's to a point where it's just so frustrating to see everything going on in that movie. Like, I was frustrated in that movie theater.
And you liked it?
I mean, I liked it just because, like, I was just so invested in it. Like,
I'm with you. Yeah, you're right. I felt the same.
Yeah.
So, the movie is very frustrating. Like, there's so many ways to take this movie. Like, when I came out of the movie theater, I saw it completely different than the next five people I talked to. And those five people almost exclusively saw it so differently from my point of view, each of them differently, that I have to admire the movie that has all this ability to be, like, ambidextrous on what it is. What it could mean is what you are in your state of being. Like, who you are as a person is what this movie is about to you.
Right.
So, like, you saw that as a man and a woman. You saw it as a husband and wife. A movie about them, and there's a lot of, like, tropes, like the breakdown of a relationship. It could be about the beginning of one. It's very, like, the movie opens with a girl on fire.
Right.
Like, everything's on fire around her. It's not Jennifer Lawrence, though. And then Jennifer Lawrence wakes up.
Yeah.
And we see this weird, like, the materialization of the house from its, like, ashes to a regular house again. And the movie starts from there.
It's like a cycle.
It is like a cycle. Actually, I forgot to say this at the top. We usually have spoiler bumpers for this, but I'm not going to have everyone figure out because there's so much. The movie's so plotless, and it goes. It really is but one giant, like, analogy for something else, right? The movie means something other than what it's showing, but it's showing you, by the way, it's showing you. So we're going to say no spoilers. We're going to be spoiler-free from the whole thing, so we can say whatever we want. That's my point. So, Lexi, what does this movie mean to you?
The entire Mother Nature thing.
Explain.
Okay. So Mother basically represents Mother Nature, and the man represents humanity and how basically we use her and abuse her, wreck her, and then it starts all over.
Okay, very interesting. Did you know that Aronofsky is known for being a big, he's a big believer of, you know, that we're fucking up the climate, and he's into climate change, he wants that to change.
That would make sense. Oh, yeah. Like, also with the husband, he said that, like, he lives forever or something. What'd he say? Like, he was timeless, something like
that? Yeah, he mentioned
basically
something about that.
He's, like, infinity, like, the universe almost, because the cycle is going to continue happening.
Yeah. See, with me, I think that it's very close to yours, but we also saw this together, and we both kind of extrapolated the same thesis. For me, this movie, what it represented is that, you're right, Mother is Mother Nature. Jennifer Lawrence is the embodiment of what Earth is. And I think that Javier Bardem isn't really humanity, is God. I think he is God. He is whatever supreme thing that created her, because it seems like he does create her, and the world around him. Let's say the house, the way I describe it is that the house is the world, and the garden around that, that does, you know, the edges around the forest is the universe. And that's the end. Like, that's as far as he's gotten. Like, that's the whole universe. If you treat the movie that way, like I did, and there's more than one way to see it, because a lot of people saw it as like a parental movie. A lot of people saw it as a parental movie. A lot of people saw this as a, like, anti-woman, but and then anti-man movie. Like, there's so many ways to see this movie that there is no wrong answer.
Well, there's just so many moving parts also. Like, I can say, like I said, I thought it was about, like, a relationship between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
But then I also think, well, what about the brothers of the uninvited guests?
Like, who feel like Cain
I'm completely
and Abel
forgot
to me.
About, right, yeah. It's Cain and Abel. And then, like, you said God, I thought, like, the crystal, the rock that he has is the forbidden fruit that they're not supposed to touch.
Right.
I mean, like, once you kind of put it together and you kind of find one and you kind of just, like, decipher what that is, it kind of, like, all goes full circle,
and
like, every
that,
moving part.
That great first book, which is probably the Old Testament.
Right.
That new awesome book, which is the New Testament.
And then everyone goes crazy,
Yeah, everyone goes bonkers. And, oh, man, so many things. The baby thing, which is insane. Man, where to start? So in terms of relationship, what aspects of the movie did it, like, what did you feel it was telling you about relationships or a man and a woman? Like, bad things, good things, be wary.
Yeah, I
don't
mean...
Don't get married.
just the amount of abuse she takes, I think, is what I took out of it. Just how she kind of just... Already, it was already getting bad to a point, and then she gets pregnant, and then how, kind of how she still... All this to go on after that, then he writes the new book, and then everybody comes, and everything gets crazy, and then she has the baby... And then she still, like, allows him to be in the room with her. She's still kind of, like,
looks...
That was
a super weird scene.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Looks for him for, like, comfort, even though after, like, this is kind of all his fault, he's kind of sucks.
Right. So, I mean, so is painting husbandry as in a bad light, do you think, the movie?
Yeah, I don't know if husbandry... I mean, if we're going to go back to, like, the God thing, I think just kind of,
well,
like,
I mean,
ownership almost, like, just...
Maybe like that, I mean, I've seen this one girl on Twitter... who's a friend of mine, told me, and now in certain terms, this is before they double the characters, by the way. she told me something akin to, like, she saw it as how mankind, in terms of coupling and monogamism and the way that, you know, the man has to work, the woman has to cook, that kind of thing. I think it's the greatest depiction of that, told in such a broad, crazy way, and where every moment she suffers from, like, an awkward situation with Michelle Pfeiffer, or, like, the fact that she has no power and say over the house that she built,
right,
which is, like, very akin to, like, a mother, like, constantly upkeeping the house, you know, the stay-at-home mom type, or stay-at-home wife type, I mean, like a housewife. I think it's showing, like, a lot of, like, a 50s style, but writ large, and when it gets crazy and everything's happening, like, a lot of the reason that young couples or couples that shouldn't stay together or stay together for the wrong reason stay together is because they have a child. So, like, when she gets the pregnancy and then the baby, like, the movie gets crazier, but she shouldn't have stayed, but she ended up getting pregnant. So, for her, she saw it as, like, no way out for her.
Right.
And the movie's, like, a big depiction of that. Can you see that point of view, Lexi, that isn't Mother Nature related? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is there – what's the biggest – thing in the movie that made you feel, or the biggest thing that it showed you that made you think of Mother Nature in the best light or maybe the worst light?
A couple things, actually.
Cool.
First was the diamond heart thing, because it was so precious that no one could touch it, which means it has to be the heart of the house or the heart of something. And then was the all the people coming in, like all the random people, and then the creating of the religion from this dude from the book, that like the writing of the book, creating it as a religion.
Poetry he wrote, right, I think?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then at the end, when she set the house on fire, including herself, well, mainly herself setting the house on fire.
We saw that coming when the Zippo lighter went on the, I'm like, it's going to come back in an hour.
Yeah. Basically... That's kind of how, like, Mother Nature restores herself, is by creating mass destructions.
Like forest fires.
Forest fires, right. Yes.
That's. I think I said that literally out loud in the movie theater. Like, forest fires, that's what it is. Let's talk about the ending a little bit. The cycle. Because at the end, so at the beginning, it opens with really weird, girl on fire, world starts, we don't know what's going on.
I totally didn't notice it wasn't Jennifer Lawrence until you just said that right now, honestly.
Oh, really? You thought
I thought it was her.
Well, it was very burnt.
Yeah.
Right? But it wasn't her. And I confirmed it from hearing tons of podcasts after, or reading about it.
Right.
It was all over the news, this movie. Not news, but like movie news. Not like on CNN or something. And then at the end of the movie, it's a different girl. Completely.
Yes.
Right.
That's obvious.
So, but the same cycle begins. So what do we think of... Were you disheartened? Was it a sad affair? Was it a sad affair for you? Well, just for her story right now. Was it a sad affair or a great thing that the cycle started up again?
I mean, it almost leaves it to me like open-ended. Like, does the same thing happen again? Or is he just going to keep trying until he gets it right?
Gets what right, though?
Just... I guess until he has full control.
You think basically. He's after more control?
Yeah, I think he wants the full control. I think... What Jennifer Lawrence's character, her mother, does at the end is kind of just her, like, ultimate rebellion just after, you know, her child dies. I think that's the ultimate, like, just separation, well, like, this is enough.
Yeah, bro.
And, yeah, I mean, that'll get to you. And I think it's just him trying until he gets the control he wants. He gets...
Yeah, so you think it's more cynical then? It's a bad thing.
Definitely.
I mean,
definitely
assuming that thing. You don't want him to have control.
I mean, I was, like, angry. Like, I was like, you got to be kidding me, like, again.
Yeah, I wanted to slap him, like, 50 times in that movie.
And I love Javier Bardem, but I hated him in this movie.
He's a really good bad guy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Skyfall and shit, yeah, he's good. What do you think of the ending? The cycle, the fact that we know it's a cycle and this is how it begins again?
I think that it's just the way that it is. Because, like... He's the same, like, he never changes, he never ages, which means that the cycle will go on and on forever, no matter what the outcome is.
So you're saying
like whatever
the exact same movie is going to restart again?
Just with a different just person? Different, like, incidents, like, different triggers.
Oh, okay. So you think the same amount of, like, pain and suffering will happen, just differently?
Just differently, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like the outcome will be the
cynical,
same.
Sons. You're both. You both are really
the
dark
outcome
about.
Will be setting the house on fire because she never leaves the house because the house is her, like, pride.
No, I hear you. Yeah,
and
for
like
sure.
The only way to restore it is to destroy it.
Yeah, and then it restarts anyway because he has all the power.
Yeah.
So both very cynical. Makes sense though. Darren Aronofsky. I say that his name so fast sometimes doesn't sound right. Aronofsky. He's a dark guy. He's a cynical, dark bastard. He has very little hope in humanity. We, from watching not just Noah, but watching Requiem for a Dream, which is a basically anti-drug campaign movie, shows he knows how to show the horrors of stuff. He has very little faith in humanity, and he has a strange connection or disconnection with his faith. We know he believes in God, or did a long time ago maybe, because of what happened in Noah and other movies. And this one, I think, if you take the Mother Nature God aspect, he is portraying God to be a self-centered asshole who wants attention all the time from these creations, from humans. And so by the time it gets to all the war scenes and people executing each other and the house is going crazy and the fact that he, you know, his relationship is with Mother Nature in the movie. So I think the fact that he, it's like being in love so long that you tend to... what's the term when you, like, let it slide, when you don't notice it as it goes bad because you take it for granted. So I think he was showing God taking Mother Nature for granted because Mother Nature was always giving and giving and giving and always there for him so much that he began to take her for granted, never listened to her, never listened to her quibbles, whether it was something small like, should we have people in this house, to, hey, there's people eating my baby, you know, or whatever. And that gets crazy. So I feel like that's all cynical. But when it restarts, I think it's Aronofsky's, this is my weird point of view, I think he's getting a little hopeful where I think the fact that it's not Jennifer Lawrence anymore, I think the movie is showing our climate right now. It's Mother Nature today. We see, like, if you want to call the timeline from the beginning of civilization is the beginning of the movie, right? And then Cain and Abel happens and all this shit, right? And then we see tons of people. It's all mayhem. I think at that point is where we are today, in present day today. I mean, the way Aronofsky's showing it. And the climate change is happening right now, right? And for me, it's not a question of believing it. It's happening, motherfucker. The polar ice caps are melting. Whatever. Deal with it. It's happening right now. I think that's in the point of timeline we're in now. We're about to, Mother Nature's about to give in. And kill us all in many ways because what else are we going to do? She has to start a forest fire soon if she needs to save herself. So I think he's showing us that Jennifer Lawrence's path is what we're in now. And his hope is that once it goes away and the ashes come back, or from the ashes, the restart will mean that it'll be a hopeful, a better beginning, and they'll find a way to get us to be a better humanity, maybe? Or maybe there'll be no more humans. Like, maybe he'll restart the world and there's no more humans anymore. He won't write a book anymore. It's just her and him now. I mean, as it should have been, maybe. And we were just pests that were created to get a seeking attention guy attention. You know, so, I mean, that's weird, but that's where I was going for in the movie. Does that make sense? Does that track?
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely see where you're coming from. This is the third try, though, right, at this point?
Well, yeah, because you saw the number ending three. Of the first.
Right? Third time's a charm. You never know.
Right. I'm surprised I didn't see any dinosaur imagery.
Yeah.
Maybe there was, for all we know. What do you think of Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie? Because they were like their second fiddle in the movie. So what do we think of that couple, what they were doing? What do they represent to you? Like an older couple? Like them in the future? What did you feel about them?
Well, besides Adam and Eve, I guess that's the more obvious, right? Yeah. Right? Because their sons would be Cain and Abel.
Cable. Thanks for laughing.
I mean, they just kind of added to that frustration. I mean, I think Michelle Pfeiffer's character, I don't know what she's called, woman.
Woman, yeah.
I think she was like the original like frustration, just how she was just so intrusive and so kind of not leaving mother alone.
Right.
I think she was like the start of like, I think the...
very passive-aggressive, too.
Yeah, the man was kind of like just like a small little annoyance, but it wasn't anything big. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once I think the woman, the wife, comes in, I think that's when it starts to get... You know, you start to smell something's awry, something's not right, and this is like the start of something bad.
But did they represent something more to you than like... I mean, for me, I guess they would be more of an Adam and Eve type. But to me, like they were... Like Michelle Pfeiffer... represented, I mean, if you want to go with what I was saying earlier, I think she represents the arrogance of humanity, or the beginning of arrogance, or like a proud ship thing, because she's the one that thinks that she deserves to hold the crystal that she breaks.
An entitlement kind of thing.
Entitlement, right. Maybe a little of that, too.
Yeah, I agree.
And Harris, too, also. Sorry. I don't know why I said that twice.
Didn't the guy break the crystal?
Was the guy? I thought it was Michelle Pfeiffer.
Sorry?
Yeah, it was Michelle Pfeiffer who broke the crystal, right?
Well, he goes to show it to her. And then I think they don't tell you, but you hear a break.
Oh, right.
But he goes to show it to her.
There, right?
So she tells him to go see it.
That's right. That's
kind
right.
of like Eve told Adam to go grab
right,
the fruit, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. A lot of allegory. Allegory. There you go. But even so, like, I feel like, yeah, these people represent something bigger than themselves. But, you know, if you see it from a couple's perspective, it's like... You can't, it's impossible to have outside opinion because it's like showing you the difference between one couple and another, even if they're older, doesn't mean you're going to become them. It means that's a way to not become them. If you're looking for your perspective, Josue, for that, this is a movie about this couple and the generalization tropes that we go through to suffer, which is interesting. And so if this older couple's there, I feel like it's their way of showing you, like, don't become them, or... That's how different another couple can be, and you shouldn't be influenced by someone else's point of view on matters. Because Michelle Pfeiffer is very headstrong. She's constantly in the way. She gets what she wants. Jennifer Lawrence isn't that person.
Yeah.
She's much more nicer, more like Midwestern nice, I guess, and she doesn't act that way.
And now that you mentioned the two couples are kind of like opposites of each other, where Javier Bardem is the controlling to Jennifer Lawrence character, and Michelle Pfeiffer's character is pushing around this.
Right.
Her
but
husband.
He controls her differently because Michelle Pfeiffer will tell Ed Harris to his face, do something. He would just do it when she's like in another room, and then she would walk into the thing he did and like, oh, I had to do it, honey. Like so there's a difference to how they control each other's, like the other couple there or the other spouse. But that's also very cool. Like I said, it was very generalization. What do you think of the baby eating scene?
No.
Well, they don't actually show it. I covered your eyes. I remember you were like, yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, and they punched her down. Oh,
What can you say? Really that was just hard to watch.
Yeah. What does it represent to you? What does the death of that child mean, other than the fact that it's Jennifer Lawrence's kid?
I almost saw it as her last hope. I thought the kid was kind of, when she has the kid, it is like a relief. For me, I felt relief. I felt kind of like, you know, I was so scared that she was not going to have this kid. Right. You know, when she's pregnant, because
that's true. All something
that's going dangerous. On, you think like something's going to happen. There's no way she's going to have this kid. And then when she has, it's almost like a relief, like, because the whole movie I was nervous. I was like, something's going to happen and she's going to be crushed. And then she has the kid and you feel like, okay, you know, it's fine. She's safe.
Right.
And then they eat the kid. Like, yeah.
Because they want a piece of history, a piece of greatness, I guess.
A piece of greatness because like it comes from, I guess.
Mother Nature. Right. Or mother. Or the mother.
And the writer of
The writer of
the poetry, the book.
That's true. There's a little bit of true thing in there where we tend to put like hailed authors in really high pedestals. And he's one of them for sure. What, Lexi, does the baby signify to you? Like, I know it's a terrible thing that happens, but what does it mean to you in the allegory of Mother Nature and stuff? If there is something.
I don't know. Probably her hope.
Like a literal amount of hope? Like, is there something in Mother Nature that you can point an example to something we might get? Or is this just like the movie showing us?
Like her creations. Like the trees.
Like the trees, maybe? Okay.
Because yeah. Didn't they snap the baby's neck, too?
I don't know. We heard
they did. I think they did, yeah.
They were
yeah.
carrying it over. It was very quick cuts, by the way. They don't actually show a lot. They show, like, a
like
fragment.
Like the animals, too. Like, they cut down the trees. They yeah. eat her animals, stuff like that.
Did she have a pet in the movie? No, right?
No.
I didn't make that. Okay, I thought I imagined that for some reason. What do we think the bloody hole in the wall meant to you? Because it kept increasing. She kept fixing it, putting carpet over it, and it would still seep through it. What does that signify to people? That clearly can't be anything but what you think it might be, because it's not literal. Yeah. So what is it?
Yeah, to me, it's just the way she kind of covers up problems. I think just the way she kind of like
that.
Is would rather just hide it and kind of deal with it herself. She just hides it and she forgets about it. Then she comes back to it when it gets worse. And then just kind of the same way she was with her husband. She kind of ignored problems. They kind of got better. But then she let it go on to a point where it got worse, and then she had to come back to it again. And the hole was kind of almost like, you know, the same thing she was doing with her husband, I felt like.
Maybe like also it could be like a constant reminder that she's hiding things instead of fixing them, or hiding things instead of breaking them or fixing them in general. Like, it's almost like she should replace the whole panel, not just cover it up and clean the blood. Like, that doesn't actually fix the heel or fix the wound.
Right. Maybe. And also... this is something we haven't even mentioned that I almost forgot about completely, the yellow little liquid that she's taking from Thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, in a way, you know, she's kind of having like these, I guess, I don't know, it's like vertigo or something.
Yeah.
And then she takes the yellow liquid and it gets better. I think that's also just a way of how she kind of like, instead of dealing with whatever that is, finding out why that's going on, she just takes this kind of quick remedy and then she forgets about it until, you know, it happens again.
That's
and
true.
Then she keeps taking it and... it's kind of just a little quick.
Maybe showing you a way of showing you like what ignorance is bliss is. Like if you choose to ignore something, it goes away, but only for that moment.
Exactly.
It will come back to you if you keep ignoring it. The problem will grow. That's a good one. I didn't think of that. See, that's the one thing I couldn't think of in that movie. You and I couldn't think of anything, Lexi. Like, what was that drug about? Every time it came up, like, I was asking you, do you recognize that drug? And you're like, nope. But it could mean anything. Could it mean anything to you? Or is that the first thought you had about it?
I had no idea what it was.
Yeah. I like what you're saying. I like your interpretation also.
I do too.
On that.
I'm going to go with his.
Yeah, I'm going to steal his. Yeah, it's mine now. Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm taking it, borrowing it. Here's another one that we haven't talked about is the heart of the house. The heart beats, guys, through the walls. Through a specific part of the wall, I think, but through the walls. What is that?
If I had to put it, I would put it simply, I would say that's just kind of a reminder that it's not permanent. We have heartbeats. We die eventually. So kind of the house having a heartbeat means that, you know, it's going to end.
And it's progressively dying throughout the movie, right?
Right.
It beats less and kind of deteriorating, right?
Right. So I just think it was a reminder that it's not forever, that it has an expiration. And based on the heartbeat and kind of how they focus on it, it's coming soon. I just thought it was kind of like a foreshadowing.
It is to the point. Also very, very dark. But the movie is dark as shit. What do you think, Lexi? Of the heart.
The same thing.
Little thief. I should just ask you first and stop stealing his ideas. Huh?
Well, I mean, he has it on point.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. That's a good point, and that's for sure. To me, the very first time I saw that scene, this is before I realized we were watching a big, like, allegory to something else. And I thought there was a plot. I mean, there's no plot. I thought that she was imagining it. And I know it's not true anymore because the movie's insanely different and supernatural, but I think that if I stick to those guns and imagine that she's imagining this house as having a heartbeat, and if you go with the Mother Nature angle, which I didn't think about too much, but you could say, oh, maybe that's the core of the earth, you know. No. It could be that for sure, but I'm saying for me, I think it signifies her, like, that's her dying faith. Because if her husband is God, in my analogy of what the movie means, if her husband is God, and throughout the movie she's losing faith in him, in the fact that she can't, in the fact that he can't protect her anymore, or ever, maybe he can't defend her verbally, much less whatever, he can't do any changes for her, he can't do anything for her, much less to help her, it becomes a lot worse. I think the more she loses faith, the more that heart dies every time she feels it. Which I think is 3 or 4 times in the movie, I forget. So I feel like that's what it means for me. But it could mean, what we say elsewhere, of course. Because there's so many ways you can take it. There's literally so many ways. You could take it as the core. You could take it as humanity's pride, you know, as it wanes to a decrepit halt of desert wasteland. It could be anything, dude. And I love how many interpretations are of this movie. Anything else we want to mention before we cut it? Anything else that's been on your mind? Certain performance? I mean, we haven't talked about the performances, really. But they all kill it. I mean, the camera is constantly on Jennifer Lawrence. And she manages to show from panic tension ease to, like, a greater, like, eyes wide open, like, freaked out emotions, and back calm again when a certain solution comes. Like, the way she manages to change her expression is worthy enough of an award right now for me. And I really loved her. And Javier Bardem plays, like, his casual. I mean, he's, like, meant for this movie. This is casted really well, and Javier Bardem is clearly, like, perfect for this. But beyond that, anything else you want to mention?
No.
I think I remember, also, if you remember this, in the war scene.
Okay.
There seemed to be a guy that saves her for a bit.
Right.
And he, like, takes her safety, and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
That might have been Jesus. That's all I'm thinking.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that could have been. I didn't say what I thought about who the baby was, but I did want to mention one scene, though. There's a scene before when the baby's born, and they're having a staring contest.
Oh, yes.
Right. If Mother Nature can stay awake long enough for him to leave or go to sleep himself, and she fails, obviously. What do we think of that scene? What does that mean, the staring scene, that he had to take the baby?
I almost thought it was comic relief, honestly. I giggled because I was just...
No, I laughed too, for sure.
It was so ridiculous the way they were staring at each other after all this happened.
It was like all night and a day. It was like a whole 24 hours or something, right?
Yeah.
What did you think it meant?
Basically that he's not going to give up. He's going to get that child.
Yeah, but like for what? Just to prove to humanity that here's something else to love me with? Is that what you think?
To get people to appraise him, yeah.
Even
he
more,
wants more attention. He wants more and more and more.
Oh, you don't think the book was enough, huh?
No.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
He wanted to show the baby to them.
Yeah, and then when he goes back outside, like, the way the people are living, they're living like in the Matrix Reloaded, like the Zion people. They're living like weird bohemian.
He went to Lion King that baby.
Yeah, he Lion King the baby. That's right. Except that it turned out really bad for the king, the cub. Anything else on this movie and Mother? I should say Mother because that's an exclamation mark. Anything else, sir?
No, I think we covered a lot of it.
Very cool. Yeah, we covered about 30 minutes. This is about the time this movie is a review's go for. So that is our review of Mother. Thank you for helping us out, for donating to our show this month in order to, you know, support local podcasts, you know, support Chicago podcasts. Why not, right? Let's see. On Twitter, you can find me at Armin Filmmaker, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Do you guys want to give out a handle, anything on social media you want to give out, or no?
I am not on Twitter, so.
or anything else, no? Like on Instagram? No.
Nothing.
You don't have to. Don't worry. You just came here for this one review. But thank you so much, Josue.
No, yeah, I enjoyed it.
For helping us out on this review, helping me out, because Roth and Luke did not want to see this movie, or did not make it, or whatever, so I had to do something. And Lexi.
None of you people are getting my social media.
No, we I don't want...
Thanks.
Yet. Wow. Oh, yeah, we're starting our own thing soon. Yeah, that's right. We're going to do it. It's a secret. Don't tell anyone.
You just said it.
I didn't say anything. Okay. Thank you, guys. See you later.
Kids. Excuse me?
I saw how you reacted earlier. I know what it's like when you're just starting out and you think you have all the time in the world. And, you know, you're not going to be so young forever. Have kids. And you'll be creating something together. This is all just setting.